Latter-day Saint Home Educators is pleased to bring you this audio presentation recorded live during the May 2015 Home Education Conference held in Williamsburg, Virginia.
Good morning. Again, my name is James Tippetts, and this is Teaching Leadership to Your Children is the topic of our discussion this morning. And thank you for being here. I'm pleased and honored that you would choose this particular section for your time this morning. We're going to have, I hope, some fun this morning. I would like to have a discussion this morning and really get your input, because this is a topic that I think is extremely important and very timely, especially for the events that we see happening in the world today, and particularly for this group. We'll talk a lot about leadership, and I'd like some of your input, and we'll share some great ideas I hope that you'll take home and not only use in teaching your children, but use in your own life and use in other opportunities that you have as leaders. A little bit background about me. You heard my introduction, but I really received my introduction to leadership as a youth serving in church organizations, called to quorum positions and scouting positions, and I'm an Eagle Scout and went through the scouting program, and so that was really my first introduction to leadership. What I realized, though, is that as I continued on the path of leadership, is that I really didn't have a clue what leadership was. Different young men have many different opportunities and different leaders and different instruction. I didn't get a good mentor. And so it really has affected my life and my desire and my passion for leadership and my desire to help other people become better leaders. Because I think I could have started much sooner in my influence as a leader had I been able to receive some good mentorship and some good instruction. And so that's what I want to really talk about as we get started is what is leadership? And this is where you guys get to participate. So what is leadership? When you think of leadership in your mind, what does that bring to your mind? Yes, ma'am.
Savior.
I'm sorry?
Savior.
The Savior. Our perfect example of everything in our lives, and certainly an incredible example of leadership and servant leadership. Thank you. What else? Yes?
Well, I was going to say being somebody that others will want to follow, which is...
Certainly, it's a great example of that. So being someone that other people want to follow. Yes?
I think doing what is right without letting your ego get in the way.
Doing what's right without your ego getting in the way. We're going to talk about that specifically here in just a little bit. Thank you. Yes?
I think this goes off what you're saying is just not being a follower.
Not being a follower.
Being a little bit more independent and charting your own way and not just going out with the crowd.
We're going to address that specific topic this morning as well. So thank you. Yes?
Influencing and encouraging others.
Influencing and encouraging. Adding to others. Well, this is an incredible group because apparently somehow you guys got a hold of my slide deck last night and reviewed everything, and so we're done. You've got everything that we need to know. All of those things are great examples of leadership and are specifically things that we're going to talk about this morning. Leadership at its core, I believe, is influence. And really, it's nothing more, it's nothing less. We're going to influence initially ourselves. So I believe leadership starts with self. And then as we learn and develop leadership for self, we can then start to lead others. And eventually, the goal is to become leaders of leaders. And if we will develop our skills and our opportunities to that point, that's where we really start to have an incredible influence. Wednesday morning, I had an opportunity to speak to the youth and did a class on public speaking, and we had a little bit of a dialogue there as to why public speaking is so important. And one of the points that we made Wednesday morning is exactly what we're talking about today as well, is that there are, in my belief, two types of people in the world. There are those who will be influencers, and there are those who will be influencees. We're either going to influence or we're going to be influenced. Which group do we want to be in, especially in the world that we live in today? And ultimately, what group do we want our children to be in? They are going to be the thought leaders of the world, and they need to be the influencers. And that comes about as a result of leadership. So that's in a nutshell, really what I think leadership boils down to. It's influence. So why is it important? We've talked a little bit about that already. Why is leadership important? Let's get a few more comments if we could.
Chaos without it.
Chaos without leadership. Very true. Yes. Thank you. So a leader or an individual often doesn't see the good and the talents and the traits that they have in themselves, but they can recognize that in other people and help them and mentor and bring those traits out and help them develop those and become leaders of their own. Yes?
About leadership, there's a lot of wasted time and energy going in wrong directions.
A lot of wasted time going wrong directions without leadership, without direction. Thank you. Yes?
Eventually, someday, want to be up here, but along the way, we're all at different paths, and a leader can help pull us all, you know, up to this level that we're all hoping to be at someday.
So a leader pulls up. A leader reaches that hand down and lifts others and really adds value. And I swear you guys saw my slide deck. These are all topics that we're going to discuss individually. You know, there are a couple of interesting statistics that I'll share with you. More than 50% of all Fortune 500 companies, the CEOs had a C or C minus average. Kind of interesting, isn't it? 65% of all of our senators came from the bottom half of their school's classes. That one's not as much a surprise. 75% of the presidents of the United States in the lower half of their classes. I know we're not supposed to get political, but those are some interesting statistics. And half of all of our millionaire entrepreneurs never finished college. Is success really about talent? It really isn't.
It is, though. It's a different kind of talent.
It is. It's a different kind of talent. And leadership certainly can be a talent. If you read the description for our class, one of the questions I often get asked is, are leaders born? And my response is, I've never met a leader that wasn't born. Yes, they're born. But are they made? Certainly they are. We all come with different talents and abilities and different levels that we're at. But leadership is certainly something that can be and should be developed. And so it's a skill. And there's a process to it. And if we will learn the process and learn the laws, and we're going to discuss a couple of those laws this morning, then we can develop not only our own leadership ability, but we can certainly help our children and those around us develop their leadership ability also. Talent ultimately is not going to be enough, just the innate talent that we're born with. We're all going to have to develop in those skills that we come with. So I believe that leadership really is the difference maker, and that everything else in our lives can rise or fall based on that level of leadership, not only that we instill within ourselves, but even within the organizations that we're a part of, the leadership that we're around and that we're a part of as a group as well. Everything rises and falls with that level of leadership. So our class this morning is specifically on how do I teach it? You know, how do we teach leadership to our children and to those that we're around? And there are a number of different ways. Books. There are a lot of books on leadership. Biographies of great leaders. books specifically on leadership characteristics and traits. I've got a number of books that I'll show at the end of the presentation that I strongly recommend. I'll talk about a couple as we go through the class this morning. Learn from people who have been there already. This is not something that you have to go to the school of hard knocks and learn leadership because of what you see other people doing or not doing. There's a lot of information, especially in the world that we live in today, that you can look and find examples of great leadership and learn those principles. So books are a great way to do it. I'm a huge reader. There's an axiom that John Maxwell uses quite a bit. Leaders are readers. And that's true. That's very, very true. Next is on-the-job training. I mentioned earlier kind of my background and how I got started with leadership, and that was very much on-the-job training. You're called to a position where you're thrust into the role of a leader, and you learn as you go. And that worked, that didn't work, and you're just learning as you go. It works to a certain extent, sometimes better than others, but is probably not the best way to learn leadership. But the goal would be to have some of those leadership skills developed before you get into those positions, and then use the position as a laboratory, if you will, to be able to develop our skills a little bit further. The best way, I think, to model leadership for your children is to model it. To be a leader yourself and to show your children by your example how to be a good leader. And so that's where I'm going to center my remarks this morning, if that's okay, is in developing leadership individually, each one of us, and then modeling that for our children. Now, I'm sure, as you can imagine, leadership could be a discussion that we could have taken the whole weekend for, and we've only got an hour. So we're not going to cover every facet of leadership that we could cover, but I've taken a couple of points that I believe are key that I'm going to share this morning and that I would hope that would be of benefit to you in starting your own path towards leadership excellence. Most of my remarks are taken from a book written by John Maxwell called The 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership. In my opinion, this is one of the best foundational works on leadership I've ever seen. I am a little bit prejudiced. I read this book the first time about 19, 20 years ago. It changed my view on leadership. I read a number of John's other books, and then, as you may have heard in the introduction, for the last number of years, I've actually had the opportunity to be mentored by John personally. It's been an incredible experience. For years, John has been voted the number one authority on leadership in the world. This past year, the American Management Association voted him the number one business influencer on leadership in the United States. Just an incredible individual. Very, very, very Christian-based. Not a member of the church yet, but we're working on that. But just true leadership principles. And so this is, I can't recommend it strong enough. Great book, great start to the laws of leadership. And so this will be kind of our text for this morning, if you will. The first law that I want to talk about is the law of the lid. So imagine for just a moment, you're cooking and you've got your pan on the stove and you've got your lid. What is the purpose of a lid when you're cooking? Keep the heat in. Keep the heat in, keep the mess in. I don't cook very often, and my wife will tell you why if you ask her, but lids are important for me because it keeps the mess in more so than the heat in. Does that sound like a good thing when it comes to life, having a lid? Not a good thing. And that's why I start there, is the law of the lid when it comes to leadership. Your success in many areas of your life is limited by your leadership ability. And that's what this lid is really about. Your leadership ability determines the level of your effectiveness. So in this particular case, a lid is not a good thing. We want to raise that lid up as high as we possibly can. The higher or the more your ability to lead, the more potential that you're going to be able to realize. So here's an example, kind of a graph that shows that. If you look at the left, down along the bottom side of our graph, we've got your dedication to success. And on a scale to 1 to 10, you could have an 8 or a 9 or even a 10 commitment to being successful. But the scale on the left is your leadership ability. And if you've only got a 1 or a 2 in your leadership ability, you're going to limit the amount of success that you can create in yourself and in your organizations that you're a part of. If we can raise that leadership ability to an 8 or a 9, now we've got a lot more potential that we can capture and that we can look at. Now, there's an example I want to share here because sometimes this gets confused with potential. And there's an example I really like to use using just electricity. So if our potential is like the electricity in the room around us, and our leadership ability is the light bulb, and we as individuals are the lamp, there is an unlimited amount of electricity available to us. But if we've got a 10-watt bulb in our lamp, how bright are we going to shine? But if we can increase our ability, put a 60-watt bulb or a 70-watt bulb or a 200-watt bulb in our lamp, the potential has always been there. The electricity is always there. We have God-given potential that is unlimited. He can do anything he wants to with us. But usually that potential is dependent upon what we do with it in working with our Heavenly Father. And so we need to increase our bulb, the light that we shine in our lamps. Does that difference make sense between our potential and our lid? Sometimes we only put a 10-watt bulb in our lamp, and that's not going to let very much light out. So we need to increase our light, okay? The next law that we're going to discuss is the law of influence. We've talked a little bit about influence before. Leadership is influence, nothing more, nothing less. And the key here, first of all, is to influence ourselves, which is often the hardest influence, and then to expand that influence to others. There's a quote by Margaret Thatcher that I really like. She said that being in power is like being in lady. It is like being a lady. If you have to tell people you are, you aren't. A lot of us are put into positions of leadership Unfortunately, and I'm sure we've all seen this, people believe sometimes that leadership is just something that automatically comes with a title. I'm the leader. That doesn't always work so well. If you think you're leading and you look around and there's no one following you, you're just taking a walk. Leadership is influence, and it's something that comes about naturally when we're following someone who has developed leadership traits and abilities. It's not something, though, that is typically just automatically instilled in us, and we talked about that earlier. We're born with many natural talents and abilities, but we need to develop those. And so, as a kind of a young leader, I guess, myself, one of the best examples I had of this was in the military. I went through college and was part of the ROTC program, and so when I came out of college, I went into the military as a second lieutenant. One of the best things that I did as part of my college career was I joined the National Guard and got some weekend experience, if you will, into what the military was going to be like before going on active duty. And initially, actually, we thought that we would stay in the reserves. And so after graduation, we got a little bit of a surprise and a welcome letter that said, you know, welcome to the military, you're going on active duty. And we got shipped off to Fort Benning where we started our military career in the infantry. And as a brand new second lieutenant, an affectionate term for second lieutenants in the Army is butter bar, because our rank is a gold bar, and so you're called a butter bar. And it was a very enlightening experience, because all of a sudden I went from an ROTC detachment that was about 15 of us at Southern Utah University to my initial infantry officer basic course with about 200 new lieutenants. And many of those lieutenants came from the United States Military Academy at West Point. They had a very different attitude about their status in life than what many of the others of us did. And as we watched their interaction with soldiers, we saw a very good example many times of the law of influence based on what they thought their position was versus what they really had as far as leadership ability goes. I learned very quickly in the National Guard from some very good friends and enlisted soldiers that took me under their wing and very quickly taught me that leadership is not based on your position. That leadership is based on how you lead your troops. And that really, other than my youth, that was really the experience that that started me on my path for leadership, that showed me how important leadership was and how much I enjoyed really truly developing the skills of a leader. Influence is what it's all about. If you have to tell someone that you're the leader, you're probably not. There are a couple of different factors in leadership that I think are very, very important. These seven are things that we have to develop in ourselves in order to be effective leaders. Character, relationships, knowledge, our intuition, experience, past successes, and our abilities. As we develop leadership in ourselves, especially as parents, and then have the opportunity to teach our children through modeling and through example, and through formal classes and leadership opportunities, these are seven traits that have to be taught and instilled in order to become effective leaders. As parents, we have a particular responsibility, I believe, in past successes. One of the things that we have been really blessed with is children that eventually get to the point where they're open to mentoring. It usually doesn't happen between 16 and 18 or 16 and 20. It's usually just after that 21, 22 stage. But we've got an older son and daughter now that are both married and have children and are you know, well into starting their families. And it has been a true blessing that both of those individuals have been open to some mentoring. And unfortunately, I have a lot of lessons to teach them. There are a lot of things I did wrong. And so they are very open to my sharing past successes, but also past failures, areas that I had to learn and grow and that's an area that now I'm able to be an effective leader in sharing with them some things that didn't work out so well for me. And I put Holly through a lot of grief and pain for a number of years. But they're open to that, and they're able to listen now and allow me to share some things that they can do better that hopefully will alleviate some of that. So share your past success, but also share maybe some of your past challenges as well. And help your children do things differently than perhaps what you did. The next one is the law of process. Leadership skills develop day by day. They don't develop in a day. There is an incredible book that I just love that talks about this topic. It's called The Slight Edge by Greg Olson. I had an opportunity last year to teach that book to our youth, and it is definitely one that is on my recommended book list, The Slight Edge by Greg Olson. Our daily decisions are what create our life. I read a really interesting quote. If you like theoretical physics, the physicians, is that what they call them? Theoretical physicists? There we go. The theoretical physicists today have proven that time does not exist. There is no yesterday, there is no tomorrow, that the only thing that really truly exists is the moment. And not to get too deep or out on a tangent or anything today, but I can see where that could be the case. I know that for my Heavenly Father, time has a totally different meaning than it does for me. But it's in the moment, it's in the decisions that we make right now that we do create our tomorrows. Our todays are simply a creation of our yesterdays. And so as we develop our leadership skills, sometimes it gets very frustrating as we look at yesterday and we say, well, today doesn't seem to be any different. And in many cases, it's not very different. But it's just that slight change, that slight difference, that if you'll do it every single day, eventually you'll get to a point where there's what's called the tipping point. If you've ever looked at a scale, you've got the two scales on each side, and you've got one side that is significantly lower than the other, and so you start adding weight to the lighter side, and you add weight, and you add weight, and you add weight, and eventually it gets to the point where even with a feather, it's enough weight to shift the balance. You don't have to throw on a rock all of a sudden to shift everything. Do it daily. If you think back on your life, is there anything that you've ever achieved of worth or of value that you did in a day? I thought as a youth I should be able to do that with piano. Didn't work. And even today, after many years of piano lessons, I don't play very well, because I didn't practice every day. I thought going to my lessons once a week should be enough. Leadership is no different. As we talked earlier, it's an ability, it's a skill, it's something that can be developed, but that's the key. It has to be developed in us, in our children, in our organizations. It needs to be developed. So day by day, there are a couple of different phases in our knowledge base. The first phase of leadership is, I don't know what I don't know. And that's true for all of us. You know, sometimes we'll go to a question and answer period and I think, well, I don't know what to ask. And it's because I don't know what I don't know. So what should the question be? Well, the next phase is, I know that I need to know. I've recognized that I'm in a place where I don't know what's going on, but at least now I know that I don't know and that I need to know. Next is, I know what I don't know. So now I've identified that these are the areas that I need to develop. I don't know what I'm doing here. And this is the stage where we develop a plan. I develop a plan to grow in that area. So the next phase is, I know and I grow, and it starts to show. That's a fun area. That's a fun phase to be in, because now you start to see some results. And isn't that really what we all like? Don't we all like to see results? It's interesting that that doesn't come until the fourth phase. Don't expect results back in phases one and two. Sometimes you'll get them by phase three, but really, once you put your plan in place and you start to implement it and you start to grow, that's where you'll finally start to see some results. And then the fifth phase, I simply go because of what I know. How many of you know how to do things so well that you don't even think about it anymore? Everyone should raise your hand, because you probably don't think about brushing your teeth. It just happens. There are a lot of things that we develop that are so ingrained and we're so knowledgeable and they just become habits. We can do them without even thinking about it. You can get to that point with leadership, where when you're put into a situation where a leader is needed, you just step into the role. You don't think about what needs to happen and what you should do and what other people should do. You just Step in. Our oldest son was born with a lot of leadership ability. We can remember times where we'd take him to the playground, and within 5 minutes, every kid there was organized, and there was teams, and what we were going to do, and there was a result, and the mission, and because I was in the military, it was very mission oriented, and it was incredible what he was able to do without even thinking about it. That's just what he wanted to do. He wanted to organize people and establish the mission and make it happen. That didn't always go over so well with his brothers and sisters, but on the playground, it seems like they were open to that. That's where we want to get to for ourselves and for our children, so that when they're put into a situation where a leader is needed, they're able to step into that role. We need effective leaders in the world today. There are a lot of leaders out there, it seems, that are taking us in a direction we don't want to go. And many times it's just because good people are not doing anything themselves. We've got to step up and be the leaders that the world needs, that our families need, that our wards and stakes need, that our communities need, and ultimately that our Savior needs here on the earth today. So, the process, the law of process, is the law that lifts your lid. We started with our lids wherever they are. That can be raised, and it's this law of process that does that. So think for just a moment, what are you doing personally right now to build yourself into a better leader? And maybe great leader is a step beyond where you're even looking to go. But what can you be doing right now to develop into a better leader? What books are you reading? I'll go back and I'll say it again. Leaders are readers. Why do you think our prophet encourages us to read from the scriptures every single day? We can add to that. I love hearing General Conference quotes from other books. Our leaders read good books in addition to the scriptures. There's great material out there. What are you reading? Is it the magazine that came in the mail? Are you maybe watching TV instead of reading a good book? We made a choice many years ago, just for our family. We don't have cable. We watch movies every once in a while if there's something worth watching, but we don't watch TV. Our kids love to read. And if there is any one thing that we have done in our family that has allowed our children to excel, it's that. We encourage reading from good books. We have a book list that we encourage our children to read off of. And something that worked really well in our family is we told them that if they would read a book, we would pay them whatever that book cost. So they were able to look on the back of the book and go to the barcode. And, okay, this book is $15.95. I get $16 if I read this book, and then give a report on it. They couldn't just read it. And to read it and then give a report. That encouraged our children to read some phenomenal books on leadership, on spiritual issues, on different things. And yes?
Did you have to approve the book?
Yes. It was a book from our book list. So, sorry, I should have made that point. If they would read a book off of our reading list, then that's something that we did that was really effective in getting them to read good books. What seminars are you enrolled in? The fact that you're here this week is phenomenal. We love this conference. This is our fifth year that we've been here, and we love coming here. Our children love coming here. There are a lot of opportunities for learning. Take advantage of those. You have to invest in development. Personal development is something that we all have to invest in. And so find some seminars. There's a ton of information online today. I love the internet for its good points. I hate the internet for its bad points. But there are some great information and opportunities for learning in classes and in things that are available to you online now. And ultimately, sacrifice is a necessary part of this. It's part of the gospel plan. We recognize that when it comes to the gospel, but it's part of life. Sacrifice is a part of our life plan. In order to achieve anything of value, you're going to have to give up something else. There's just not enough time in the day to do everything that I want to do. And so sacrifices are a part of it. Prioritize. What are you sacrificing so that the things that you do want to achieve in your life and in your family's life, so that they're being accomplished? Okay? The secret of our success will be discovered in your daily agenda. I was part of a business years ago, and one of my mentors told me that at any point in time, he would be able to tell me how successful I was going to be just by looking at my day planner. And it's so true. If you're not planning it, if you're not scheduling it, it's probably not going to happen. Ultimately, we're all pretty lazy. It's just our nature. It's that natural man we're all trying to overcome. And so if you're not planning for it, it's not going to happen. And ultimately, the things that do happen naturally are usually not the things that we want to happen. So make a plan for it, your daily agenda. The law of addition. This one is so important because true leaders are servants. And we lead through addition, through giving and sowing into others. We add value truly by serving others. The bottom line in leadership isn't how far we advance ourselves, but how far we advance others. Going back to the law of influence, if we look around and don't find anyone around us, we are not leaders. We might be successful individuals, and I'm not taking anything away from that. But a leader is going to bring people with them. We've got to add value to others. And as parents, that's where our best success is. I am so excited that my children are doing better than I am in so many areas. I want them to start ahead of where I did. I want them to end up way far ahead of where I end up. I want them to be better than I am. And so I'm adding value into them. I want them to be more than what I am. If you can't give evidence of making things better for others, then you're probably a subtractor. Going back to what we talked about earlier, you're either an influencer or you're being influenced. 90% of the people in the world today that are subtractors don't even realize it. They just haven't realized that they're not adding value to other people. And if you're not adding, then you're subtracting, you're taking away from. Again, our natural man is naturally selfish. We've got to overcome that. And that takes effort. It's not going to be something that we just do. It has to be something that we do intentionally. And so if you look there, 90% of all people who add value do so intentionally. It's something that we choose to do. It's part of our daily agenda. We choose to add value to other people. If we add enough value to other people, then our efforts multiply. If our family is something that we add enough value into and we practice and model leadership, even if it's just something as easy as getting the house cleaned up on Saturdays, doesn't that make it easier if everyone steps in and helps? If we've got a family goal or something that we're looking to accomplish, one of the hardest leadership roles you will ever be in is a leadership role in a volunteer organization. Now, I keep reminding my children that they volunteered to be part of our family. They don't always believe that, but families are very much a volunteer organization. Our church organizations are volunteers. This weekend, this is a volunteer organization. When you can't step back on that role of authority or position, maybe moms and dads do that a little bit. I have to say I've played the I'm your dad card before. But that's not always available to us. And so, especially in volunteer organizations, we have to add value to other people so that the organization as a whole can grow and become and develop everything that we need it to. Okay? The law of the picture. People do what people see. And I use this law because of what we talked about at the very beginning. The best way to teach leadership is to model it. Our children do what they see us do. I can't tell you how many times as a youth I swore I would never do the things that my parents did. Until I did it and thought back in my mind, I swore I would never do that. And I'm doing it. We do what we see. Now, there have been times where we've been able to break that chain, if you will, and talk to our children and explain why we don't want them to do what we did and you know, break the chain, so to speak. But overall, so much of what we learn by example. We learn by what we see. The greatest gift a leader can give is to be a good example. We all have different ways that we learn, but even with our different learning styles, 80% of the things that we incorporate into our lives, we learn visually. Now, that's a scary number if your kids are watching a ton of television. And that's my personal soapbox, and I'll get back off now. We have to be modeling the traits that we want our children to incorporate into their lives. In leadership especially, but in all areas, in our spiritual lives, in our own personal study and prayers, in everything that we're doing in our lives, that's what our children see. And because of that, that's what they're seeing, that's what they're going to learn. That's what they're going to incorporate and become the habits that they put into their life. We have to practice what we preach. And that's difficult because I've got things in my life that I'm not as good at as I want to be. And so I tell my children what they should be doing, even while I'm still developing that in myself. So while I can't show them perhaps the standard I hope that they will attain, what they will see in me is the desire for growth and the effort, my daily agenda, doing the things that will help me to develop to that area. So even while I'm teaching a standard that I may not be at yet, I am showing them that I'm putting in the effort to get there. The first person we have to lead is ourself. There's a reason when you go fly and the stewardess gives us the little safety demonstration when they get to the oxygen mask. There's a reason they tell you to put your own mask on first before you help those beside you. We've got to be developing ourselves for the same reason I just talked about. If our children hear us say something about developing a skill or a leadership trait, and they don't see us trying to develop it ourselves, what's their first question? You're not doing it, why should I? We have to be striving to be better ourselves. And then many times, just by that example, our children will come along behind us. But certainly at that point, as we teach, they see our efforts, that we are walking our talk as well. So, as we wrap up, I would encourage each of you to give yourself a character audit. And I just have a couple of questions for you to think about in your own personal leadership development. What are your core values? There was a time, especially as I started getting into more of the formal process with leadership and with coaching and training with the John Maxwell group, where we did an exercise where we talked about and listed our core values. And intrinsically, you know, internally, we all think we know what these are. But if I asked you right now to list your top 10 core values, would you be able to do that? We think we would. Well, honesty and integrity and loyalty and okay, I got those three out. What are your core values? What do you really want your life to look like? So what incidents in your life stand out as being inconsistent with those core values? And we all have them. We all have mistakes that we've made in our life where we've done something that didn't fit with those core values. But if we've identified what they truly are, those instances of mistakes and going against our values will decrease because we have formally identified what they are. Where do you need to work? We've got our values. This is what we say we really believe. This is where our life actions are not consistent with those values. In our family, health is a value. We have a daughter that has some specific challenges that we have a very strict way that we need to eat in order to support her. That's a value for us. I travel quite a bit during the week, and I'm not as good at keeping that value when I'm traveling as I am at home, because at home, my wife takes great care of me. She's wonderful. Out on the road, restaurant menus don't care what I need to eat. And the pictures are usually the things that I shouldn't be eating. What are my values and how am I acting inconsistently with those values? Those are the areas that I need to work on, that I need to make changes. Ask a trusted friend, a spouse, a child to help you identify what those areas are. Sometimes it's hard to identify those in ourselves. We mentioned earlier. Self-reflection and self-evaluation, it's hard sometimes to really be accurate. It gets easier as you're more accurate, but ask for help. Your kids are usually pretty honest when you ask them, in all seriousness, to help you evaluate yourself. And then don't debate their observations. You don't have to just automatically accept all of them, but don't debate them. Spend some time thinking and evaluating those other people's observations about yourself. A couple of classes and seminars that I've been to, even after just a short couple of days, we've sat down, we've done some of these exercises where someone who really just met you makes some observations. And it's incredible how even in a short period of time, observing other people and their leadership skills and abilities and how they do things, and then receiving feedback from the people around us, how observant people can be and how blind we can be to ourselves sometimes. So look at those observations and just be open to them. They may or may not be accurate, but be open to them. And it may surprise you, some of the things, especially that your children can give you some insights on. So those are all of the laws that we're going to talk about today. But I promised you a book list, and so I'm going to show you these books. Now, these are all books by John Maxwell, and I'm just a huge fan of John Maxwell. So there are other leadership authors out there. I think John comes from a Christian background and true, authentic leadership, and so I really, truly love his books. He's got 60-plus books out there. He's sold over 20 million copies. He's a great author. But find the books that work for you and for your family. The 21 laws of irrefutable, or the 21 irrefutable laws of leadership that we've been talking about, we covered 5 of the 21 laws this morning. If you don't get anything else, that's the one I would start with. That's your foundation. Start with that book. Give it to your children, let them read it, let them develop those 21 laws. You can't start too early. Our 12-year-old boys are put into positions. Where they have great power. Keys that they don't know what to do with. We've got to teach them better. I really like Becoming a Person of Influence. The 15 Invaluable Laws of Growth is a book I'm going through again right now. I get something new out of it every time I read it. This is a process. We have to develop, not only in ourselves, but in our families and especially in our youth. If we're worried about the way the world's going to look in 30 and 40 and 50 years, it's our children that are going to be leading it at that point. And so if we're not doing what we need to develop tomorrow's leaders today, then shame on us. It's our fault. It's not theirs. I've saved just a few minutes here at the end for questions. Anything that that you'd like to ask about as far as what we've covered, or just anything on the topic of leadership and how to teach it to your children, we've got about just about 5 minutes left that we'll open it up to any questions that you may have. It's always the pause to see who's going to go first. Okay, great question. If we're in phase one, I don't know what to ask yet. So how many of you are at phase three where you know what you need to know? You want to ask a question about it? Yes, please.
What are some of the books on your book list that you have your family reading, your kids reading? Sometimes it's, I don't know, to have my kids read, because I'm a little nervous if I haven't had time to read it beforehand.
Sure. So the question was, how do you know what books to have your family read? What's on our book list? One of our first books that we have our kids read is a book called Being Happy. It's a quick read. It has large print. It has pictures and little comics in it. And really our attitude is one of the things that affects everything that we do, whether it's leadership, whether it's just relationships in our family. And let's face it, there's a lot of challenges in the world today to just be happy. And so many times we think that something else should make us happy, when really and truly happiness is our own individual choice. And so that's one of the books that we first start with, Being Happy. Another book that we really like is a book called Hung by the Tongue. The way that you speak and what you say, if you go back to the book of James, our tongue is our rudder. What we get out of life is so much a result of what we say and how we say it. And so at our house, we're really focused on how we talk, what we say, what we allow to come out of our mouth. Now, that doesn't mean that the thoughts that are in your head are always going to be good. We know that we can have thoughts put in our head that are not our own, and the adversary is out there trying to control those thoughts. But what we do have control over is our tongue. And so Hung by the Tongue is a phenomenal book that helps make that correlation in between thoughts and speech and how to control the speech. So those are a couple of the books, the leadership books that we've gone after. We have great finance books. The Jackrabbit Factor is one of our favorites. If you're familiar with Leslie Householder, she does an incredible job. What else would you say? As a Man Thinketh, James Allen is a phenomenal book. Just a really short, quick read, but those are a couple of our favorites. Another question.
What ages are these books
for? So what ages? We believed very early that as soon as our kids could read, they should start reading nonfiction. And so doesn't mean we cut out Little House on the Prairie, but our 8-year-old daughter read Being Happy. You can speak up, please. This is Holly.
Start with Being Happy, and our daughter who's here, she's 12, and she probably got her first copy of Being Happy when she was 6. So she didn't really probably understand it as we went through it as a family very much, but she's read it, I know, at least twice more since then, and she'll come to me and say, gosh, that is really a good book, or I need to work on that. So we just buy everybody a copy every time we get a new book. So that they have their own copy to write in and whatever. And then as they read it through the years, it changes. You mentioned Slight Edge was a huge book. Once our kids are teenagers, they kind of start to really understand the Slight Edge and use the principles.
And Jeff has written a new book called The Slight Edge for Teens. So initially when we first started reading The Slight Edge, he just had the one version. But he has rewritten it, and there's one called The Slight Edge for Teens. John has a new one called Failing Forward for Teens. It talks about how failure is just a part of life. Don't get hung up on it. Fail forward. So it's called Fail Forward for Teens. And so, yes?
I would just say, too, for like having a son with dyslexia, that we do a lot of ear reading. So if the books, you know, for anyone who...
There are a lot of audiobooks.
...that they can read, they can
they can listen to it. You bet. Incredible library of audiobooks that are available now, too. Thank you. Any other questions? Well, thank you. Again, I hope this has been an hour of your time that you feel has been well invested. It is something that I think is so important for each one of us in our own lives, but certainly in our families and in the role that we have in teaching our children. Teach leadership. Help them be the influencers in the world today. We need more good influencers. Thank you very much.
Latter-day Saint Home Educators is a nonprofit, all-volunteer organization dedicated to providing inspiration to homeschool families. We hope you enjoyed this recording. If you are interested in listening to more recordings or would like to participate in a future conference, please visit our website at ldshe.org.